This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning and my sidekick today is Philip C. in the studio.
You're Tufa.
Tufa on this 22nd of February 2020. So lots of tutus here this morning. But I want to recap how global markets closed yesterday because US was closed for President's Day. But just looking at European markets, the FTSE 100 was down 0.4%. DAX and CAC both were also down 2%.
I think it's not helping as a result of the Russian-Ukrainian escalation. But across also in Asia, Nikkei was down 0.8%, Hang Seng down 0.7%. Shanghai Composite was flat at 0%. STI, though, was the only exception, up 0.2%. But unfortunately, back home, FBM, KLCL down 1.3%, really below the 1,600 level.
Yeah, that floor. Gone. Or ceiling gone. But to joining us on the line for an analysis on what's ahead for global markets is Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, I'm sure you're keeping up with all the headlines with regards to Ukraine. What does this mean for markets, U.S. markets, when they reopen later?
Well, when they reopen, you're going to see a lot of red risk off. You're seeing that in the futures market already. So we got to rethink and reprice assets because we are escalating. And kind of in the eye in the storm is Europe. You know, they're closest. Proximity matters. Oil prices, you touched on that, going higher. So really, to me, you know, risk off is going to be the market mood for the next, say, couple of days until we get some clarity on what's next diplomatically.
$100 Brent crude is very realistic, isn't it?
Very realistic, and we could go higher. But remember, that's deflationary. And here in the United States, it's still about inflation. People are not happy. Prices are going up. The cost of everything at the front end or the back end, food, energy, rents. So, you know, ironically, this is the wrong way to bring about, you know, a slowdown, right? You want to slow down the economy through higher cost of capital gradually. This comes as a shock, and it, you know, so we'll see how that plays out. It makes the central bank's job a lot harder for sure.
And staying on the theme of what's gone up is actually food prices, and that's, of course, driven a little bit by supply disruptions. But we do know, actually, Russia, for example, has a major role in the commodity space, grain commodity space. So what kind of outlook do you have on this sector?
I mean, we're bullish across the agricultural complex, whether it's, you know, drought-resistant seeds, machinery, really across water supply on that. So we're very bullish and have been for quite some time. The middle class in the emerging markets continues to grow. They're eating more protein, putting more stress and strain on the physical infrastructure. So we're bullish. You know, remember, Ukraine is also a big exporter, a big producer of wheat. So they're in play as well. But, you know, to me, it's more the energy markets where you'll see this inflation. Food has already taken off, but it just adds to the misery index, right? I mean, everyone's going to be in a bad mood tomorrow when we wake up or tonight in Malaysia because things are just not breaking the way they were. And we're coming out of the pandemic and, like, we get slapped again with another, you know, big challenge. These are big issues.
So let's just stay with the inflation team. I mean, we've talked, I think, about the U.S. inflation extensively. But what, get your thoughts on price pressure on EU, as you say, right, the Russian-Ukraine conflict much closer to home there. How do you think the ECB will balance growth and inflation then?
Well, given what's going on, I mean, the ECB under Lagarde has done a great job. She's done a fabulous job being market sensitive, you know, working with the market, communicating. So I think, you know, the ECB got a little hawkish here in the last couple of weeks. But if we see this escalate, oil, you know, remember, Europe is most exposed to higher energy prices because they're most dependent on other people's energy, whether it's oil and gas. So you could see the ECB winding back or talking back any hawkishness. That means for a weak, stronger dollar, that creates its ripple effect. But, you know, Lagarde has done a very good job. She's very attuned to the markets. And I do think she'll be walking back to hawkishness if this continues to escalate.
And what are the safe haven assets, Joe? Could it be gold, which has inched above $1,900 US dollars per ounce in the last few days?
It could be gold. And if anyone's listening, it's not Bitcoin. Okay, so don't go there. Physical assets, hard assets, real estate, gold. All these all these commodities are still very much, there's a lot going on geopolitically, but what doesn't stop is what, the green revolution, electrical vehicles, demand for hard assets. So, if you got money and you're going to put gold or Bitcoin, I would go gold. So it's a great question.
Yeah, because gold has been doing pretty well. I wonder how long that momentum will sustain in the short term. Can I get your perspective close to my home, right, which is Asia? We are all very excited here, although Omicron is kind of rearing its ugly head a bit. What's your take about consumer sentiment, economic prospects in Southeast Asia in particular?
Well, I hopefully can only get better, right? Only get better. Because I can tell you, Omicron here in the United States, it's come and gone. We're still in the pandemic. We're still wearing masks and people get boosted. But, it's almost an afterthought more and more. And when that comes to Southeast Asia, that means, more travel, more entertainment, more going out. It's just kind of like getting back to a new normal. It's not going to be normal, but it's going to be, a new normal that creates growth. So I think that's very exciting. I mean, because, a lot of parts of the country are opening up, the rest of the world. I think that's in front of us. And that's kind of like what the second we've got to get through these geopolitical tensions on the other side of this. A lot of upside, because we're not even talking about that. It's nice not to talk about the pandemic, isn't it? But unfortunately, we got to talk about Ukraine. There's always something. So you're probably going to enjoy, I think, the endemic as opposed to pandemic that the U.S. is on the cusp of now.
I mean, do you think then Southeast Asia will follow the same track that the United States which is going through now, which is high inflation? Because we talk about rising prices here. It hasn't really felt so bad yet and compared to what you see in the U.S. Do you think we will follow that same track?
I think you will, but here's the good news. I do think in the second half of this year, prices roll over, used car prices, energy, hopefully, we hit 100, I don't know, 110, 120 on oil, but that creates its own demand destruction. So then we start to work back. So in the global supply chains are getting, they're getting a little bit better here. So, with more vaccinations, the boosters, going to the endemic stage, companies just, get back to work, start traveling. So yeah, I do think inflation kind of rolls over. I think the big story in 22 is inflation peaks and rolls over, and that creates its own momentum for equities and other asset prices.
So what sectors should we play based on this momentum, Daniel?
Still like commodities, whether it's energy, agricultural, precious metals, just basic metals, materials. Mm. And that number one, and number two, more. I still like technology. I mean, if anyone's listening and doesn't own technology, what are you waiting for? I mean, this is the time. Mm. Technology. So whether it's, South Korea, Taiwan, U.S., China, because technology is proven, that's not going away. That's only going to get better, bigger, and more permeate all of our lives. So, barbell strategy, hard assets and technology. Think of it that way.
All right. Thank you. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, advising us to take a barbell approach. On the left-hand side, have your hard commodities. On your right-hand side, consider technology, which actually has come down a lot in the last few weeks. So it's a buying opportunity.
Yeah, perhaps it is. I was just reflecting, Xiaoning, if you think about, the sectors that were thematic for the year, 2020 were glove stocks. Mm-hmm. And we talk about 2021, which was the technology stocks in Malaysia. I wonder in 22, it's commodities for us.
It looks like it. Look at plantation stocks. The plantation index has jumped in the last few weeks, right? I think it's basically people couldn't make sense of the fact that CPO prices hit 6,000, but a lot of the plantation stocks really went nowhere last 2 years. And why was that the case? Well, some of it was ESG concerns. Some of it was because I think there was more attention paid to the Singapore and Indonesian planters. But everyone is expecting, these planters to do extremely well in terms of their results. Busted plant results came out last
pretty
night.
Good.
We'll look at it at 9:15. So far, even Syme day before reported extremely good numbers.
Yeah, so I'm very keen to see whether, as a diverse economy, perhaps there are always some bright spots every year, regardless of the difficult times we are in.
Always. It's just a question of finding the gems before everyone else does. But let's look at one interesting story coming out of Bloomberg. And that is that multiple Chinese authorities have told banks and state-owned firms to re-examine all financial exposure and other links to the N Group. This is renewing its scrutiny of billionaire Jack Ma's empire and those involved. And this is probably described as the most thorough look into deals With regards to this company?
The National Audit Office is leading this initiative. It is still unclear who triggered this new scrutiny and what actions will this latest scrutiny lead to. Oh my goodness, I really feel for Jack Ma. You know, remember the time in quarter two last year when he was doing that speech where he kind of lashed out at the Chinese government, and that caused such a big backlash, isn't it? And I think put so much pressure on the China tech sector, and he went into kind of a serial hiding, and we thought the worst was over for him. But my goodness, this investigation does not look like that.
Yeah,
it's happening.
I'm just wondering in my mind, right, how far is this going to go? And what is the purpose of this? What is the ultimate agenda of these investigations? Weren't they already done one round?
Yeah.
So what are they hoping to unearth this time?
Yeah. And the question I feel is that I don't know whether it's moved away from this whole tech patriotism that we've been talking about quite extensively. And I think the Chinese government has achieved that to some extent, isn't it? You saw so many Chinese companies relocate and move their financial raising markets into China, like Didi and such. So I wonder what this whole intention is, because in the United States, yes, you see all these tech entrepreneurs, I think, creating quite a lot of limelight. Mm. I wonder if there is that kind of envy as well happening in China.
Well, we'll be watching this space very closely at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.